your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlanta, Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. My name is Robert Campbell. This week we have a live concert and interview, which we recorded in the Spryfield area of Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'd like to thank Steph Walsh and Jim Womble for their help and all their efforts in getting this on the air. We'll start right in with Ruth Manning.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. And today we have Ruth Manning in the room. My name's Robert Campbell. Thank you for hanging out in the room with us and on the airways with us. So, Ruth, you came down from the Valley. Whereabouts in the Valley are you?
Yes. Well, we live in Prospect, but it's not to be confused with the Prospect that's near Halifax. That's often a confusion. But, just a small little community in the center of the Valley, really not far from Kentville.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I've seen it on the map.
Yep.
I've probably driven
through. It's just a drop on the map.
Yeah, I've driven through.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you've brought your guitar and your voice. We've got a piano. Play some songs.
Yep.
Hang out for a bit.
For sure.
Do you have a set list that you're going to work from?
Or? I have a little bit of a list,
yeah. Well, why don't we just dig right into a tune?
Sure.
And do a couple of songs.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll start with this one. This one I wrote a number of years ago, and it's called Second Wind.
Nice
bunch of friendly people we have here today.
We've got, what have we got, about 20 folks in the room. That's excellent.
Yeah,
and that is song you wrote a while back. Did you record that on one of your albums?
Yes, I did. Yep, that album was recorded in Nashville, actually, back in 2015.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So people will have heard this, and they can download it on all the platforms, listen on all the platforms and everything.
Yeah, good. It's on there, for sure.
So, and you've got half a dozen albums?
Yes. Yeah. Yep, two Christmas and four country. Working on a gospel album right now.
Nice.
Maybe try one of the songs that's going to be on that today. We'll see.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, we got the piano warmed up, and you can slide over there anytime you want.
Yep.
The thing I was thinking about was when you wrote that tune, how do you go through that process when you sit down and you've got an idea in your head or lyrics? Where does it usually start for you?
Yeah, it depends. Usually it's a line or two of the lyrics, and then, you know, trying to make it into something. But sometimes it's a little lick on the piano. It depends kind of on the song. But
Well, do you want to keep going on another song?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yep. I'll try this one. This is probably, I think this was absolutely the first song that I ever recorded. I won a contest back in Windsor, like in 1993 or somewhere there, and the prize was enough recording time to basically do a song. So this song is called Together We'll Grow Old, and I haven't even sang this one for a long time either, but drug it out of the closet for today.
No place like here now.
Stay for
so much.
Nice, a love song.
Oh, yes.
Your husband's here tonight. Did you write that for him?
Well, I actually wrote that before I met him. Wow. That one actually was written for my sister's wedding back in the early 90s. So, yeah.
And that's on an album, I presume?
That one is, on the very first album that I did, yeah.
When did you start recording then?
2008 was the first album that I did, yeah.
So you've been doing a couple a year.
One
every couple of years.
There's been a span of a larger span between a few of those, but trying to keep it going.
And you've got one ready to release, you say?
I've got a song released from it, but it's not all completed yet. So in the works, a gospel album. Yeah,
right. Good.
Yeah.
So when do you think you'll be recording the rest of the album and getting that out?
Very soon. I hope it's out by summer. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Do you have a title for it?
Not yet, but it might be the title of the single that just came out, which is called Almost Home.
Almost Home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Hey, you're playing guitar here, you're going to play piano. What was your first instrument?
Piano. I took piano lessons from about age 12 to 18 and, did all of the Royal Conservatory lessons, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. The greatest stuff, but then kind of thought, I want to be able to just play to sing. So now I play by ear more than by music. So
I went through the same process learning keyboards, and I can read still, but not as well as I used to be able to.
Right,
it's something you have to keep up.
That's
sure.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Good. So the process on that song was all guitar all the way, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's one or the other typically, but lots of times if I write a song on the piano, then if I'm going out somewhere and I'm not taking my piano, I'll figure it out on the guitar too. Try to make do.
yeah. Well, it's a lot easier instument to carry and
That's
set
right.
up and deal
exactly.
with than a piano,
yeah.
right? Even the new keyboards, as you know,
they're not light. Yeah, but when we play in the band, I take both, so switch back and forth. Yeah,
and the name of the band is Ruth Manning and the Prospectors.
It is, yes. Yep. Because we hail from Prospect.
Is it the three or four piece?
Four piece, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So do they float through, or do you have a really solid group that you've been with for a while?
We have a solid group, yeah. It's changed. We've got a couple of changes over time, just our original drummer passed away during COVID, which was a real hit for us, but we have a new drummer and who's a great guy, and so we're moving forward, and
you have some shows coming up?
We do, starting in May, and then we're going to be fairly busy right through to the New Year kind of thing. So
mostly in Nova Scotia or Atlantic.
Mostly Nova Scotia. We exhibition type things, and we've got some shows. There's a show for the Nova Scotia Country Music Hall of Fame coming up in 2 weeks on May the 7th in Waterville at the Fire Hall, and I'll be on that show. Our band is the backup band for the other guests as well, so Ryan Roberts will be with us, Tammy Adams and Dave Coggins, and we do a fair bit of work with Dave Coggins as well, so he's a great friend, and we've done a lot of shows with him too, so that's a lot of fun.
Right on. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, do you want to have another song?
Sure.
Yeah. What have you got in your pocket?
All right. Well, there was I was asked a number of times to play for Remembrance Day at a specific service in Berwick. And I got to the point where I thought, okay, I'm going to sing the same song every time. So I needed another song for that. So the night before Remembrance Day, 1 year, I wrote this song. It's been quite a few years now, but it's called Unsung Heroes. Your love. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
A nice tribute. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, there's a video that goes with that song that's on YouTube as well.
Right.
And it was kind of fun to do. It's kind of sad to watch, but it has our whole family. My son is the young soldier, even though he was probably only about 16 at the time, but he had the full beard, so he played the part quite well. and our daughter, who's here today, is in that video as well, and my husband. So all of us are in there, which is kind of neat. So, yeah.
Before I forget, what's your website?
It's just ruthmanning.com, okay. So easy
and
to find.
There's links to all the social media and YouTubes.
Yes,
there.
Yep. I think yeah, everything is there. Yep. Yep. So.
We have a couple of our forces here right
excellent.
Now, young men and women who are serving. And,
yeah, good, so that one's for
tribute.
You.
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll be right back with Ruth Manning on Songwriters from Here and Away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new song by local psychobilly trio Screamin' Sins called Love You to Death, a hauntingly dark duet produced by Terry Benn and Ian Blackwood and featuring legendary vocalist for The Creepshow, Jen Hellcat Blackwood, who hits back hard in full Hellcat style with this raucous rockabilly track, reminiscent of the Sell Your Soul era. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Love You to Death by Screamin' Sins with Jen Hellcat Blackwood on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Quaymo! Quaymo, my goodness! Nico Quaymo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Mondays can be a tough day, but would you like something to brighten up your Monday afternoon? Well, tune in to my show, Dark Glasses, on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf, and the show is now in its 14th year with a mixture of mainly jazz, but also blues, folk, some pop, even retro pop, and the occasional interview. So that's Dark Glasses, Mondays at 2 p.m.
We'll be right back. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows? You might just find your next favorite song.
The AMS Food Bank provides confidential and non-judgmental food options to members of the Queen's community in the most comfortable environment possible. The Food Bank helps to ensure that Queen's students can be healthy and productive as they pursue academic achievement and alleviates poverty amongst Queen's community members. We are open Monday to Friday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in room 105 of the Rideau Building. For entry into the Food Bank, we ask to see the sticker on the back of your student card to ensure you are a valid student. We have an amazing team of volunteers to welcome you and answer any questions you may have. To donate, you can e-transfer controller at ams.queensu.ca with the subject line AMS Food Bank Donation, or bring non-perishables to our location during the service hours. Also check out the Pay What You Can Peach Market, providing equal access changing hunger, in the new medical building for fresh soup and entrees on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. For any questions, please reach out to foodbank@ams.queensu.ca.
Hey, Kingston families, looking for an unforgettable summer adventure for your kids? Look no further than ASSIS Camps right on Queen's University campus. ASSIS Camps offers English and French programming for children ages 4 to 12. Campers participate in crafts, games, experiments, field trips, and activities with special weekly guests. ASSIS staff ensures a safe, packed summer with memories that'll last a lifetime. Spots are filling up fast, so register now at assiscamps.ca.
CNIB's Mobile Hub is coming to Kingston on August 7th from 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Central Branch of the Kingston Public Library. The Canadian National Institute for the Blind is hitting the road to bring its innovative programs and technology to you. Drop in to meet CNIB staff and learn more about the free programs and resources for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision. Explore assistive tech with hands-on product demos and workshops.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. This is absolutely frivolous. Sorry. Absolutely frivolous. I'm going to say that with gusto this morning. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. As always, Mondays at 10:30. It's a comedy show. If you haven't heard this show before, I play a variety of different comedy, mostly stand-up, but I'll do the odd sketch comedy, interview, funny song, that kind of thing. You know. If you've listened before, if you haven't listened before, welcome. And if you want to listen to past shows, go to cfrc.ca and check out the archives page. We try to put up about 3 months worth of past shows for every show. So you can browse around if you missed this morning's show. Of course, you can go back and listen to it. Almost immediately after the show is over, it's there. Just be forewarned, it downloads a full hour. I start at 10:30, so my show actually starts halfway through the MP3 that's downloaded. So just be aware of that when you go to listen to the show on the archives page, not in live, like you are probably now, because I hope there's tons of people listening, not just maybe some prisoners and my dad. So I hope you enjoy this show. I have a couple of female comedians on. Fortune Feimster is going to be on later on in the show, but we'll start with Emily Heller. Both of these ladies, I have bleeped whatever swear words they may have uttered during their pieces as best as I can. As I always say, I try. Sometimes, though, I'm laughing so hard because of the piece and their comedy, I miss certain swear words. So if the topics are offensive to you in any way, or if any swear words get through and you're offended, I do apologize. CFRC apologizes. This is not our intent at all, as I always say, to offend anyone. We're here to make your lives better. Honestly, this is why this station runs, to make the community better, to make your lives better, and to entertain and educate. And yeah, if you want more information about CFRC, of course, go to cfrc.ca. And there's a whole history of our 102 years, almost 2 years. Oh my gosh, wait, what is today? Almost 103 years coming up in September. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. I love this station so much, can you tell? Anyways, and I love the Kingston community. This is so cool. Of course, you've probably heard about lots of events, but we have an events page on CFRC, and I don't know who maintains it, but they do an awesome job. Just so you're aware, the Art Fest Kingston continues down at City Park. If you're not sure where City Park is, it's actually like King Street and Berry Street. It's that big, big park that's near Queens, by the water kind of thing, but not. And this is a huge art festival that we have every year. It's excellent. I've already been. Go today or tomorrow. It's still going on Canada Day, which is wonderful. There's food vendors, live activities, and of course, many artists showcasing their work. There's going to be, for Canada Day tomorrow, the Great Canadian Stroll and Roll, a family-friendly parade down Princess Street, starting at 11:30 a.m. from the Metro parking lot at Berry Street. Decorate your bikes, strollers, scooters, wagons for prizes. Head towards Ontario Street for music, fun, and cake with the mayor. The Canada Day fun continues with family activities, rock climbing, inflatables, face painting, and performances, opening remarks, and cake cutting begin at 12:30 p.m. in Confederation Park, which is down by the water by City Hall. And at night, tonight at 10 p.m., they're going to have Canada Day fireworks. It's going to light up the sky. You can see it from Confederation Park or Springer Market Square. Bring a lawn chair and get there early for a great view. So much fun going on in town. One of the best things about Kingston is people are super involved and do some wonderful things. So, but you're here for comedy. If you actually tuned into my show and listen, you don't have it playing in the background. So here we go. Why don't we start with some Emily Heller? She's going to talk about being in a loser community and then her medical issues. I swear, it is funny. Please enjoy here on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Me, a lot of people assume I was a nerd growing up. That's not fair. It's untrue and offensive. I was not a nerd. Nerds had other nerds to hang out with and play D&D. I was a spazzy weirdo. We're our own thing. Kind of the bad boys of the general loser community, if you would. All of the alienation, none of the brains. I couldn't find anyone that was into what I was into as a kid. I'll give you an example. When I was 11, my dad made me scrambled eggs for breakfast one morning, and I said, "This is amazing. What's in this?" And he said, "Oregano." So naturally, I took a small tub of oregano, and I taped a string to it, and I wore it as a necklace every day to school for 3 months. And because I'm from San Francisco, my parents just let me do that. They were just like, "Go on out into the world, be free, follow your heart. Who are we to stop you?" You're actually literally the only people who could stop me. That's kind of your job description, actually. You are the barrier between me and the world seeing me with this garbage around my neck, and you're dropping the ball. I was like, "This is cool, right? I'm the oregano girl now. You all better pick a spice because oregano is spoken for." I think what I'm trying to say is it took me a really long time to lose my virginity. I think that's the point of that story. The weird thing was, though, no one made fun of me about that. I was not bullied. And I deserved it. Some kids do. No one ever called me names, beat me up, shoved me in a locker, anything like that. Instead, the cool kids just wrote really backhanded compliments in my yearbook. Like two different people wrote, "I just love how you don't care what anyone thinks about you." Which was news. What makes you think I don't I mean I don't care, but how did you know? I don't care what people think about me. Oh, you know, just how you dress and behave. I mean, because if you cared what people thought about you, you'd do both of those so differently. I went to a private school, though, so like maybe that is just how rich people bully each other, you know, just like real passive-aggressively. Just like, you know what I love about you? You're so unique. You're like none of us. You know what I love about you? You march to the beat of a different drummer. Yeah, a drummer whose first instrument is not the drums. I might have been asking for it, though, considering what I wrote in their yearbooks, which was just, "The prophecy is complete!" in my own blood. Every yearbook, too, I was so dizzy by the end of that day. I live in California. We passed a law a couple years ago making medical marijuana mandatory. That's my understanding of it, at least. I am complying. I'm not some kind of outlaw. I like the law. I definitely think it needs to be legal just for funsies, right? Mostly because I feel very ridiculous buying my weed from a doctor. Because when that law passed, I didn't have health insurance. So for a while, that was my only doctor. I don't like that one bit. I don't want my only doctor to be wearing JNCO jeans. That doesn't make me feel like I'm getting health care. That makes me feel like I am definitely going to die. I also didn't like being reminded every time I bought drugs of the responsible thing I could be doing with my money, right? I should have been saving up to go to a real doctor. I got some shit going on. I didn't want to be reminded of that every time I bought the stupidest thing that I buy. That would be like if every time I wanted to watch reality TV, I had to physically throw a book in the trash. Right? Like, if every time I wanted to order French fries at a restaurant, they were delivered to me by a salad. I'm trying to cut back, too. I know that's probably not a popular thing to say here, but I had to do it. I had a wake-up call. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever gotten so high that Law & Order SVU was scary again? Does that happen to me? I was like, uh-oh. This isn't just about iced tea anymore. So I'm cutting back. I'm not cutting out. I'm not crazy. Here's what I'm doing, you guys. I am only smoking pot when I am on my period. Hear me out. This is a really good plan. Because that cuts it down to like a super reasonable 5 days a month. And it's the 5 days a month when I am calling in sick to work anyway. Plus, now I have a reason to be excited about my period. It's not just for pregnancy scares anymore. It is every month I am excited. It used to always be like, oh no, my period. Now it's like, ah, oh, cool, my period. I should get some Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I definitely think more women need to do this. It would totally change the way men talked about us behind our backs, right? Like, no guy would ever be like, oh man, my girlfriend's on her period again. He'd be like, hey, my girlfriend's on her period again. I think we're finally going to finish Breaking Bad. It'd be a good PR move. Consider it. It's hard to get the word out, though. Like, those are two things you are not supposed to talk about in public. Like, you're not supposed to talk about smoking weed in public. You're not supposed to talk about your period in public. They both have their own euphemisms. I could combine them, right? I could be like, Aunt Flo's coming to town on the 420 train. But that's terrible. That's not good. My friend recommended this one. I could be like, it's Christmas time! Because of the red and the green. Yeah, it's grosser than it sounds at first. That's how euphemisms work. Very similar to that one, I could be like, I'm flying the Italian flag. Because that's red and green and white, and I'm white. Or this one I've been using a lot. I'm going to go smoke pot and bleed. Like, no one ever has follow-up questions. So I feel like pretty good euphemism. Anyway, it's going really well. I'm on day 87 of my period. I should probably see a doctor. But I already know what she would prescribe.
Hi, I'm James Abrams.
And I'm John Abrams.
And we're the Abrams Brothers. And you're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Please support community radio.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day, you'll get to hear...
Panda, say I love you.
Meow.
If you are tired of the algorithm-based music age we are in and looking for unique, boundary-pushing new sounds, join me, Luke, and oftentimes friends on The Grove every Tuesday at 3. We will listen to and discuss music from electronic to alternative. See you there.
God, it does feel like I'm home because I've always felt like I'm like a Tuesday night stripper. Like, you guys, well, by now you've heard my accent. You know, I'm not very sophisticated, so there's that. I'm from North Carolina, and you know, I grew up, I guess you would call like a redneck. I was a redneck. Like, I wasn't like one of those people that like walked into a gas station barefoot like Britney Spears. That's just gross. Like, I had class. I was like one of those people that drank out of a mason jar, you know? Like, I was like one of the, and that was before it was like cool. Like, now it's cool to drink out of a mason jar, you know? People do it because it's vintage. They want to feel like they're in a Mumford and Sons video. They're like, I want to drink out of a mason jar. It's cool. I was like, I drank out of a mason jar because I was a redneck. Like, I had green beans in a mason jar like 2 days before. And now I'm drinking out of it, you know? I want to drink out of my mason jar. I want my mason jar. That's what's happening now. I'm just telling you guys. I drank out of a mason jar before it was cool. So one thing my family didn't do, we didn't travel. Like, that was not our thing, you know. Our idea of branching out was going to the hometown buffet, like, across town. Like, that was dangerous. And if we wanted culture, I went to a Chinese restaurant and ordered lo mein. Like, that was culture to me. Or I would put hollandaise sauce on my steak instead of A1 sauce, which is delicious. That just makes me really hungry. I love A1 sauce. So, you know, we definitely didn't leave the country. That was crazy. You know, once when I was young, I asked my dad what abroad meant, and he looked at me like I was stupid, like, duh, it's a hot chick. And I was like, yes. That sounds exactly right. So by the time I graduated college, yes, that did happen. I was like, you know, I need to broaden my horizons. I need to go see the world. And, like, Mexico doesn't count, you know, because, like, it's right next door, and it's, like, it's not sophisticated. You could, like, you know, get, like, a six-pack of beer and a hooker and a box of Chiclets for, like, $3, you know? And you can use a Groupon on top of that. So I was like, I need to see the world. So, I decided I was going to move to Spain, which was not a great idea. I'm like, why? And not only was I going to travel there, I was like, I'm going to live there for an entire year. I'm going to pick a place where they don't speak English. That's fun. No, it's not. So when I arrived to Spain, I realized why Americans don't travel abroad. I realized why they don't live in other countries. Because it fucking sucks. I'm like, why am I in a... because I want more ice in my drink, you know? Why do I have to pay 75 cents to use your ass public restroom? I mean, I was glad that, like, their gypsies and vagrants didn't murder you like they, you know, the ones do in America. They'll just kill you. These guys will just steal your purse when you go to the bathroom. And by the way, I used to carry a purse all the time before I went to Spain. I was just walking down the street, me and my purse. Just me and my purse going to Starbucks drinking out of a mason jar. Now I don't carry a purse. Thanks a lot, Spain. So I arrived in Spain. The thing about living in Spain is, like, you want to, like, blend in, you know? And I stuck out like a sore thumb. And by sore thumb, I mean a fat, curly-haired, tall American who everybody stared at everywhere I went. And it didn't help that we had gone to war that year with Iraq, and so everyone hated America. It was awesome. So everywhere I went, like, people didn't even wave at me. They just were like this immediately. was like, cool, I'm pretty sure that's not how you say hola. So to make like this travel experience even greater, I was like, you know what? I want the full experience. I'm going to live with a native Spaniard. This sounds like awesome. We can like habla español, todos los días. That's every day in Spanish, ma'am. Thank you. God, some people have no culture. So I was like, I'm going to live with a native Spaniard. So I get to her apartamento. That's apartment. And she wasn't there. So like I had to end up waiting outside her door for an hour with like three huge suitcases and my purse. So I finally, the lady comes home. She's like 80 years old. She's like cute. She's adorable. She's like the Spanish Betty White. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I'm living with the Spanish Betty White. And she was like, she really took to me too. And so like, she took to me like too soon, like 3 hours, within 3 hours of being there, I walk into the den and she's sitting on the couch and she is there, but her hair is no longer with her. I'm like, she had hair when I showed up. I know she had hair when I showed up. These are the kind of things you don't forget. She did not have hair. So I'm like scanning the room and all of a sudden I see a wig just like hanging on the lampshade. I'm like, oh my God, that's her hair. Oh my God. And she's sitting there on the couch and she just has two sprigs of curly hair. Just two sprigs just hanging out like that. Like that, ma'am. Just like, in your face. I'm like, oh my God. She showed me to my room. I was like, okay, I can handle this. Like whatever, I can get past this. She showed me to my room. It's the size of a closet. And at this point, I didn't know I was a lesbian yet. What? You're a lesbian? That's crazy. You're so feminine. I know. Thank you. So at this point, I am living in a closet, both literally and figuratively. It's not great. So the thing about this lady is that she wanted to turn me into a señorita. She wanted me to be like the best future housewife to a man ever. Like, she's like, I gotta prepare you for your future husband. And I'm like, I think it's gonna take a lot more than cooking and cleaning, but cool. Like, whatever, we'll try this. And so she would like hand me a broom and I would pretend to be allergic to it. I was like, no. And I even tried to get my own haircut. I tried to get a haircut. I go to the beauty parlor. That's what we call them in the South, beauty parlors. And I go there and I tell the guy I want a trim. I'm like, I want a trim. In America, a trim is like, that much, okay? In Spain, you end up looking like Miley Cyrus, and not in the good way. I'm like, at the end of this haircut, I'm like this. I have no hair. I look like Katie Lang. That's a lesbian. She's not great. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God. I don't know what to do. And like, I need a friend. I need a Betty White. I need to eat cheesecake with somebody. So I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to find the one person who understands what it's like not to have hair. She will understand my plight. So I get home and I walk in the door. And I'm ready to be like, hey, we're in this together. We both don't have hair now. We're BFF forever. And she sees me walk in the door and she looks at me like this. I'm like, excuse me? And then she says, K-Faya, which I don't know if you know what this means. K-Faya means how ugly. She said, how ugly. I'm like, you have two sprigs of hair. You have two sprigs of hair. I will fucking shank you. I will kill you. I will shank you. You fucking two sprigs of hair. So I was like, I'm done. I said, I'm done with you. I am done with Spain. I will never live abroad again. I was like, I'm going to Mexico because I love hookers and I have a Groupon.
Hey, this is Brendan Canning from Broken Social Scene. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
One, two, four.
giving up. I'm never giving up. Dry those tears, we'll find